Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Fresh off the bye week, a couple days before Middle Tennessee State comes to town. And, you know, bye weeks aren't fun as far as, you know, everyone else is playing and you have to sit and watch. But the importance of getting everybody healthy and that kind of thing before our biggest stretch of conference games is really good. So happy to have the bye week this week. I think we'd rather if, you know, you could pick, you know, where you have your bye weeks, you'd probably pick before Liberty and maybe before Western Kentucky. But having it 1 week before Liberty is still, or 2 weeks, I guess, before Liberty is still a pretty good deal. It's better to have it later on in the year, kind of like we have this second one, than having, you know, one really early in the year and one really late in the year. That way you're not playing a big, you know, 7-8 games in a row. So I think the bye weeks worked out pretty good for us. But anyway, happy or excited for me to get back on the field against Middle Tennessee State and get hopefully our fourth straight win in the books. Real quick, before we get into the Middle Tennessee State preview side of it, we'll go over the conference games from last week. Of course, we didn't have an episode for you guys last week because of the bye, but real quick, Middle Tennessee State beat Kennesaw 14-5, and what was I know we've said this a few times before. This had to be the great rock fight of the Southeast this time instead of when we saw New Mexico State play. But yeah, 14-5, Blue Raiders got their second win of the year, their first conference win. Kennesaw drops to 0-6 and 0-2 in conference. New Mexico State beat Louisiana Tech in overtime 33-30. That was the Aggies' first conference win of the year. And then the big game of the week last week was Western and Sam Houston. And if you watch on TV, a really good game in the first half. Western went in locker room up 17-14, and then they shut the Bearcats out second half. I mean, there was nothing Sam Houston can do offensively to get the ball moving. And Western ends up taking down Sam Houston there 31-14. So that's a big early win in the conference for the Hilltoppers. They're now 5-2, 3-0 in conference, and they look like the strongest team in Conference USA, I think. Obviously, you know, Jack State and Liberty would be right there behind them, but a big win on the road in Huntsville for Western Kentucky, and they're got to be the odds-on favorites to get one of those conference championship game spots. And then lastly, UTEP got their first win of the year at home against FIU 30-21. So, Brooks, thoughts on those four conference games from this past week?
You know, this is a conference we've said a couple times in previous episodes. The teams that are good are pretty good for group of five football, but gosh, the bottom of the barrel is the bare bottom in college football, unfortunately. You know, Kennesaw is still searching for that first win. Couldn't pull it off against Middle Tennessee. We were, this will, you know, kind of lead into, you know, our preview of the Jack State game here in a minute, but we were a little bit higher on Middle Tennessee than what their record showed early in the season. You know, that they did not benefit from the schedule at all. They had a close game against Tennessee Tech first game of the year, but ended up winning 32-25. And then you enter a stretch of Ole Miss, Western Kentucky, who looks every bit of the best team in the conference as of right now. And then Duke and Memphis, those are all, you know, really good programs as of right now. And then, but then it was on the road, but to get, you know, beat by Louisiana Tech like they did, and now and then just scraped by a bad Kennesaw State team 14-5. I mean, you know, like I said, the bottom of the barrel is the bare bottom. We were a little bit hard. We were just waiting to see what they would do against a Louisiana Tech or Kennesaw. But they certainly they did not live up to our expectations. We'll deep dive into Middle Tennessee a little bit more here in a minute. But yeah, just not a lot for Middle Tennessee at all. Louisiana Tech and Mexico State. And Mexico State showing a little bit of life, got their second win against the Bulldogs. It was a back-and-forth game. Went into overtime. And back-and-forth game all night, went into overtime. New Mexico State pulling it out 33-30. And, another one. These are two not very good football teams, but, like I said, New Mexico State pulling out another win and maybe build something off that. I don't think their schedule's very favorable. Not at all. They still got to play. They got to go to FIU, which they might could win that one. And then they play Western, A&M. They play Western, then at Texas A&M, Middle Tennessee State, and UTEP. They could probably win those. They could probably win three more. It doesn't. Barring an upset, a major, major upset against Western Kentucky, it does not look like the Aggies will be bowling this year. Or barring a major upset against Western Kentucky or A&M. But, so moving on from that one, I'll go ahead and get the bad one over. UTEP finally got their first win of the year. I thought Florida International was going to be decent. They got a good quarterback and of course they lost the best receiver to Notre Dame, but they got a pretty decent quarterback. Those were a lot of yards. I don't think he has any weapons. Especially not, like I said, the best receiver transferred to Notre Dame. But UTEP and, it was UTEP and Kennesaw fighting for that very bottom spot in the conference there for a while, and they will play on November 9th. That'll be a God hide the children game. But yeah, UTEP finally got their first win on the year. Good for the Miners. And then the big one, Western Kentucky and Sam Houston. I honestly thought Sam Houston had. It was a 17-14 game at halftime, but then, Western just kind of ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Sam Houston could not do anything. Veltkamp just continues to be a stud, and it was the backup coming into this year to TJ Finley, and he's taking the bull by the horns. He's thrown him to the ground. In terms of this conference so far, they, like I said, with this win, I think they've established themselves as the best team in Conference USA, fighting to get a pretty good bowl win, depending on how the rest of the season turns out. But, I thought Sam Houston might've won this game. It was in Huntsville. Sam Houston looking a lot better. And they still are. I still think they're a very good football team. And the only other loss they have on their schedule is the UCF. Everybody else, they've taken care of business against, except for Texas State. That was a thriller, but Texas State, it's a pretty decent program or a pretty decent team this year. So, heck of a game. And Sam Houston's certainly not out of the Conference USA title race, but they're going to need some help from either us or Liberty down the stretch. And this is another one, those last 2 weeks of the season, it's close. I can't believe we're already halfway through college football season, but it's going to be here before we know it. And those last 2 weeks of conference play, they're going to be very crucial in deciding who plays for the conference championship. And as of right now, Western's locked in. But we'll see down the stretch. It's gonna be really interesting to see how this thing plays out. So
yeah, with all the games, Western and Sam Houston was the first big conference. Seeing, like we said already, the first one that really had conference championship game pull one way or the other. I don't think that any of the other, you talk about, pretty much Middle Tennessee State, FIU, UTEP, Mexico State, none of those schools, unfortunately, are going to be anywhere in the conversation for the for the title game. It's going to be, you know, the of your four top teams, which two play the best when it matters. And Western Kentucky's off to an early start with a win against Sam Houston. But we'll move on from there real quick and preview a little bit of Middle Tennessee State. And then we have some bowl predictions after that from a couple of sources for Jack State, which, again, if you would have watched this team play their first three games, you would be surprised that they even made a bowl projection after week seven. But here we are. It's amazing what
a couple of weeks they weren't in the bowl projections.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, Middle Tennessee State comes in, like I said, at 2-5, not playing good football. And like Brooks alluded to, this was a team that we were certainly too high on to start the year. But, I mean, you know, they hired Derek Mason out of an ESPN booth to coach team. And he's a big defensive-minded guy. He had some years at Vanderbilt that were pretty good years. Now, that Vanderbilt team's playing better than they ever have right now. But he had a couple of years where they were not pushovers like we've seen them many, many years since then. But he just – I don't know whether it's a talent issue, a skill issue. He just hasn't acquired players. They're just not playing good football. Offensively, they are 130th in the country. And, again, that's out of 134 teams. And then defensively, they are 122nd. So when you're in the bottom 120 in both offense and defense, you're not winning a lot of football games. Now, if you just look at the quarterback, you're going to ask yourself, well, how are they a legitimately the fifth worst offense in the country? Because he leads the conference in completions, attempts, yards, and yards per game. But he's only thrown seven touchdowns. He's thrown five picks. It seems like they're just throw. And Nicholas Vadiato is going to do the same thing against Jack State. They're going to throw the ball 30 or 40 times. He's going to get his yards somewhere. But it's not translating to points for Middle Tennessee State. That's pretty easy to see that, you know, yes, their quarterback's throwing for over 250 a game, but they're averaging 16.4 per game. So it's not translating into points at all. Rushing the ball, they have Jaden Creedle, who will be their number one ball carrier. He is, you know, averaging 4.7 a pop, 302 yards on the year. And then Terry Wilkins will be the next guy out of the backfield. He's carried it 42 times for 136. That's about 3.2 per carry. So not an offense that you're going to see run the ball a ton. Their leading rusher is averaging a little less than 50 yards a game. So it's not a huge number there. They're going to be certainly a team that's going to throw it a whole lot more than they run it. And like we said, it's not translating into points for whatever reason. Defensively, they forced, five turnovers on the year. Let's see. I can go back and make sure. Six turnovers on the year. Sorry. Yeah, four interceptions and two fumble recoveries is what I've got. So, yeah, six turnovers on the year, so a little less than one a game there. So they're not forcing a ton of turnovers, especially not at the rate that Jack State is forcing turnovers to where they are. They were a top five team before last week. Of course, they didn't play, so they probably dropped down a few spots there. But the Jack State defense, that, like we said, was the worst defense that we have seen Jack State field in our lifetimes for the first 3 weeks of the year. And after that, they've turned into turnover machines. It's been unbelievable the amount of turnovers they've forced in the past three games, and we hopefully expect to see a lot of the same against Middle Tennessee State, especially with how much they throw the ball. And what they've been able to do, of course, Zachariah Poyser, Jabari Mack, and friends, the secondary, getting interceptions left and right the last 3 weeks. We hope to see a lot more of that. But, again, Middle Tennessee State, not a team we should struggle with. It should look a lot like the last three that we've seen. Southern Miss, obviously a huge win. Same against Kennesaw, same against New Mexico State. It should be a lot of the same thing. Jack State's a 20.5-point favorite. Again, I think if you're one who likes to place $5 on that, you can. That's a pretty safe cover, if you ask me. They were 20-point favorites over Mexico State also, and we saw how that went. They had that covered before halftime, and I kind of expect to see the same game again. Opposite offenses, of course. Mexico State ran the ball a ton. Kennesaw ran the ball a ton. We're going to see Mexico State, or we're going to see Middle Tennessee State throw the ball a lot more. But it seems like the the potency of the offense is pretty much the same, to where whether you're running it or throwing it, this is not a very high powered offense. Brooks, quick thoughts on the Blue Raiders?
Yeah, like you said, line's 20 and a half, and I believe the over under is 64. I think this has the potential to be another one where we just pound them to death on the ground and through the air. Giving up scores of giving up scores of 32, 52, 49, 45, 24, 48, and only five to Kennesaw, but that's Kennesaw. And once again, playing Ole Miss, Duke, and Memphis, and Western doesn't help at all, but, just giving up huge chunks of points. Still gave up 25 to Tennessee Tech, and Tennessee Tech's not very good. 48 to Louisiana Tech, not very good. So, I'm fully confident in our offense to be able to run things like normal. Hopefully we can. It can be something kind of similar to New Mexico State. We can punch them in the mouth early, and halfway through the third quarter or so, put Mike Franklin in, but get some of these guys healthy, be as healthy as we possibly can before going to Lynchburg. Speaking of that, I had a couple of injury updates going into this game from Thomas Ashworth. This is from his press Rich Rod's press conference this morning. He said that they're not sure if Anwar Lewis will play against Middle Tennessee State. And I kind of wonder, I thought it was a little bit funny that Anwar only got one carry, against New Mexico State 2 weeks ago. And we got a nice little introduction to Andrew Paul. And while I think, Andrew Paul deserved it, we've only seen him get a couple carries here and there, even in these big blowout games that we've had against Kennesaw and Southern Miss and excuse me, and just in general throughout the year. So I wonder if that's the reason why, or I'm going to assume that's the reason why we didn't hardly see any of Anwar Lewis against New Mexico State, because he was banged up. Center Brock Roby is confirmed to be out for the year after a knee injury against Kennesaw State. Excuse me, goodness. Clay Webb, however, should be good to go despite being limited in practice. He was another one. He did get hurt. He got hurt against Kennesaw, didn't he? Wasn't New Mexico State.
Yeah, Clay Webb left New Mexico State towards the end of the first half and then played the second half. So I don't know if the maybe it was a continuation of the same issue that he, re-aggravated in practice, but you would imagine that when you're up whatever the score was against Mexico State, it was 33-7 or something like that. I don't remember. Whatever the score was at halftime against Mexico State, that if they felt he was healthy enough to play the rest of the game, then they had probably assumed that there was no long-term issue, because why would you run your best player out there in a 28-point shellacking? So I would assume that whatever injuries limited him in practice and may limit his playing time against Middle Tennessee State is either a re-aggravation of what happened against Mexico State, or could be something different altogether. I just can't imagine that if it's the same injury – with the same severity that we would have even seen him play against New Mexico State in the second half. So that would be what I would imagine, some kind of re-aggravation or maybe it is a different issue altogether. But good news is it's not a long-term thing. He should be healthy soon, and we'll probably see him for a little bit against Middle Tennessee State. But we'll certainly monitor that situation, because he is a necessary cog of that offensive line to make this this rushing offense work.
Yeah, and it may have just been something where, you know, he did have to leave against Mexico State. He, of course, came back in, but it may have just been a precaution. They may have limited it in practice just for precautionary reasons. You know, it was kind of teetering on. You know, he's fine now, but he can't aggravate it any worse before the game. So it may have just been precautionary. If I had to guess, that's what it was. But hate to lose Brock Roby for the rest of the season, and then Anwar. I guess we'll see. If not, I feel more than confident that Andrew Paul can handle his workload. He certainly showed it against New Mexico State. And then, of course, still have Trey Stewart, and we can go to Mike Franklin if we need to. But Tyler Huff's pretty much been that third running back for us. about has more rushing yards than passing yards. But this is going to be a Middle Tennessee team that, like you said, they're going to come in throwing all over us. The quarterback already has 17, close to 1,800 yards on the year. And they've even got Nick Vadiato, and then Amari Carey, the leading receiver, already has almost 700 receiving yards. But the only problem is, you know, like you said, they're moving the ball. They're as great through the air. They just can't capitalize on scoring opportunities. And with numbers with passing and receiving yards like this, I don't understand how they're not. I mean, Vadiato's only got 5 picks on the year. So, I mean, not bad numbers at all. Like you said, he's leading just about every category in the conference. So I've played just super close attention to Middle Tennessee State, but I'm very curious to see. I guess more than likely we'll see it on Wednesday, but very curious to see as to why, you know, they can't put up more points, than what their numbers show. And you know, like I said before, playing against Duke and Ole Miss, Memphis doesn't help, but even against the lesser teams, they were doing the same thing. And then they have virtually not a very good running game. Jaden Cradle's their leading running back with 302 yards and 3 touchdowns, but 66 of those came on one run. So, you know, you take that away, about 240, your leading rusher only has 240 yards on the year. So, you know, that's the way. It's a little bit surprising because at Vanderbilt, you didn't really see Derek Mason run this kind of air raid esque offense, but certainly implementing it in Middle Tennessee. And, you know, like I said, it's helping them move the ball, but it's just not helping. They just can't score. So I'm very interested to see why that is, what they're doing, whether it is in the red zone or if it's, you know, in that 30 yard line to the goal line range, that just cannot put it together. So that'll be interesting to see. Otherwise, though, like I said, I fully expect this to be a come in, take care of business. It'll be fun. I wish this game was. I kind of wish we were going to do, because this is going to be our blackout game. First time wearing black uniforms since 2011, I believe. 2011 or 2012. We're going to wear black jerseys, black pants, and have the white helmet with the black AKC logo on the side. And I think a black stripe. So really excited to get to see those in person for the first time in a long time. So that's why I kind of wish this game was being played on like a Friday or a Saturday, but that's the way the schedule turned out. But anyways, I fully expect this to be a come in, take another, like it has been the last 3 games, come in, take care of business, and hopefully get away or get through it with as few injuries as possible, before could be a season decider against, likely wouldn't. Just because I don't believe Liberty is, even if we do lose to Liberty, I believe they'll they'll lose to Sam Houston or Western, if not both. But a very, very crucial game against against the Flames next week.
I pretty much concur. And you talked about mentioned that Derek Brooks kind of running this air raid-esque offense. I would assume that's a product of his first year there. These are the athletes that he already possesses. So this is kind of the boat that he's in, if I had to guess. It'll be kind of fun to see, you know, 2 or 3 years from now what this Middle Tennessee State team looks like as far as will they be back into that mold we saw Vanderbilt have some success in under Derek Mason with the pro-style offense and clock management and holding onto the football and playing really good defense. So maybe that's the Middle Tennessee State team we'll come to know. But for right now, they are, like you said, kind of running that air raid offense, and that is just not translating into points. And I do kind of agree with what you said. When the field gets tighter, right, when you get inside the 30, inside the 20, there's a lot less ground for the opposing secondary to cover, and it's harder and harder to throw the football. You have the same problem for every team. You get down close to the goal line, and it gets really hard to move the ball, especially through the air, because there's just so much less field to work with. We saw Mike Leach's teams have this issue. The late, great Mike Leach at Washington State, they were the best offense in the country from 20 to 20, and then they kicked a lot of field goals, and they went on 4th down a lot. So, yeah, no running game to speak of, and it's just a problem with the air raid. If you're going to run the air raid, you got to be able to find a way to score touchdowns inside the 20-yard line. And I think we'll see Middle Tennessee State struggle in the red zone. Of course, we hope they don't get there in the first place, but either way. All right, rest of the conference schedule for the week. Sam Houston goes to FIU. That game is tomorrow night, or as we record this tomorrow night, it's on Tuesday. They are, right now, Sam Houston only 5.5-point favorites. That is at Pitt Bowl Stadium. I love it. Every week I get to say that. Makes me happier and happier and happier. UTEP goes to Louisiana Tech Tuesday night as well. That game has practically no meaning in conference play there. And then Liberty goes to Kennesaw and gets their free win against the Owls. At least we would assume it would be. They're 25.5-point favorites. And if they struggle with Kennesaw even a little bit, that's when you really have to take a back step on Liberty. And, you know, we've seen them struggle really four out of the five games that they've played already. And they're somehow five. It's miraculous that they're 5-0. But this should not be a game that they struggle with. They should go down to Cobb County Tech and take care of business against the Owls. but we'll see. That game is on Wednesday as well. That game starts at 6 on CBS Sports Network. Jack State starts at 6:30 on ESPN2 for those that are going to watch it on TV. So you could kind of go back and forth there and keep track of Liberty and whatnot. But no huge conference games this week. Of course, Liberty and Sam Houston have games that they need to go on the road and take care of business, but they should be against against FIU and Kennesaw. They're two opponents that those schools should handle. Western Kentucky is on a bye this week, so no Hilltopper news for right now. And then New Mexico State, the other team, on bye. So you get those two on bye. The rest of the eight teams all in conference play for the week, and that'll be it. Of course, Tuesday and Wednesday is all the slate is. So if you want to find some conference play on Saturday, you have to go pull for someone else, I guess. At least until week 11 or 12, or where the midweek madness comes to an end there, week 11 and 12. But Brooks, any thoughts on the week ahead, or you want to jump into bowl predictions real quick?
Just a couple of things, real quick. I don't know who's making the lines for. Who's handicapping some of the lines for Conference USA games? I know it's away, like I said, at Pitt Bowl Stadium, and that's cool to say. And they're going to go all out. They're wearing some really cool Miami Vice, like the TV show, same font, everything, Miami Vice theme uniforms. and going all out in Pitbull Stadium for the Sam Houston game. But I'm a little surprised at the only a 5-point favorite. I really thought, and you know, like I said, I didn't think Florida International was going to be bad coming in the season. Keon Jenkins has got 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. So you know, not a bad passing attack, but that interests me. Like I said, us against us only 20-point favorite at home against Middle Tennessee. It was a very similar line against New Mexico State last 2 weeks ago, and I think the Kennesaw line was even a little funky. I know the Sam Houston one was, or Southern Miss one was, but I don't know, just something. And I know there aren't just a ton of people there that are paying super close attention to Conference USA football, but these the people in Vegas know what they're doing, certainly. But kind of intriguing to me. That's all I'm really gonna say. I think Sam Houston will more than take care of 5 points. But and then UTEP and Louisiana Tech, another one of those very bottom of the barrel games. Flip a coin. I guess probably Louisiana Tech to win this one. It's in Ruston, but some of these teams towards the bottom of the standings, you never can tell the way they beat each other up. Liberty and Kennesaw, like you said, that should be a free win for Liberty. Liberty certainly not quite, and they're undefeated. They're 5-0, 3-0 in conference play, but still, their loss is coming at some point if they don't be careful. Came into the year projected to make the playoff, get the 12th seed in the college football playoff, and now that's starting to look a little shaky. I don't know, and I've said it before on past episodes. I don't know if Caden Salter's kind of drinking his own Kool-Aid. His numbers aren't bad. He's got over 1,000 yards on the year and 7 touchdowns and just one pick. But and he's a decent runner too. But just, I don't know. Something's a little off about this Liberty team. But Kennesaw, I think I can find a decent high school. I can find a decent high school team in Cobb County and beat Kennesaw.
Like we said a couple times, it's kind of weird to see. You know, Jack State had great success moving up right away. James Madison did, but that's very hard to do. And you're seeing it with Kennesaw, and they're really struggling. You know, we've seen schools like Charlotte move up in the recent past. They've really struggled at this level. Old Dominion has really struggled at this level. So it's all about where your program's at when you move up, and if you're prepared for it, like we've seen Jack State, James Madison, Appalachian State certainly would be another team that was prepared for it. You have a lot of success early, and if you're not, it takes a while to build your program to where you want it. It kind of seems like Kennesaw is, at least from an athlete standpoint, not in a very good spot, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on who you're pulling for, I guess. And then, yeah, beyond that, it's a pretty light week as far as conference play goes. And like you said, with the lines for Conference USA, it's just interesting to me that you know, Jack State has covered the last three lines they've been in by more than 20 points or more than 25 points each game, and they're still a 20-point favorite. Now, if Jack State goes out there and wins 40-20, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. Like, there's a world where, you know, they only put up 35 or 40 points and they let up 15 or 20 points. But if they play anything like they've played the last 3 weeks, it's going to look very, very different. So, like you said, a little bit interesting on where they're getting the lines from, especially that Sam Houston going down to FIU, which is, like you said, not been a very good football team, and only being a 5.5-point favorite is a little bit strange.
Well, even in the Liberty game, Liberty's a 25.5-point favorite, but the over-under is only 46.5. They should score that on their own.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know.
I agree. The lines are funny, which is great for us. I mean, if you know a little bit about conference today football, there's a little bit of money to be made. I know we tweeted out our of course, we can't go and legally, you know, we're not going to get in all that. But if you're an underdog guy and you do the champion selections, you know, there was like Tyler Huff to get in the end zone and Anwar to have one run over, you know, 15 or 16 yards. It's like giving money away on Jackson football games last week. So hopefully we'll have the same kind of thing come Wednesday night. But before we wrap up, Brooks, understand you have some fun bowl predictions that Jack State is now in, which, again, if you would have watched this team play their first three games, you would be floored to hear that they are in a bowl projection. But we are, which is great. So, Brooks, where do the people think we're headed?
Before that, just real quick, I want to one more little tidbit on gambling as it pertains to Jack State. On DraftKings, the conference championship odds, Jack State is now third favorite to win the conference at plus 360. Liberty is actually still the favorite at plus 125. And I think that's kind of interesting after this week's game, Western Kentucky out with Sam Houston. But Western, it goes Liberty plus 125, Western Kentucky plus 145. Jack State plus 360, and then a big drop off to Sam Houston plus 1100. That's honestly not that's worth putting $10 on just for, you know, just for funsies, just to see, because they're not out of it. but we were laughing before we started, another big drop off. The next closest favorite is Louisiana Tech plus 1100. Excuse me, plus 11,000. But then just to make the title game right now, the title game favorites is to be Western Kentucky versus Liberty, both of those teams minus 300, and then we are the second or third, technically best odds at plus 120. So Vegas very high on us as the year is progressing, and after that, I'll save my predictions and everything for Liberty, but I expect those numbers to get better. But yeah, bowl predictions. Mark Slaybaugh and I always forget the other guy's name, and Kyle Bonagura, however you pronounce his name. They do bowl projections every week or at the end of each week. And this week, like I said, there was after we started off 0-3, we weren't in any of these projections, but now, we've got a few different possible locations we could play our postseason game. Bonagura has us playing on Friday, December 20th in the Staff DNA Cure Bowl, in Orlando. And I think this is an interesting matchup against Coastal. We would get that that rematch with the Chanticleers in Orlando. And then Slaybaugh has us playing the day after Christmas, December 26th, in the 68 Ventures Bowl against James Madison. That game's in Mobile. I think that will be a really interesting matchup. And then there's Thomas Ashworth said – I've been seeing a lot of bowl projections putting Jacksonville State in what used to be the Camellia Bowl and is now the IS4S Salute to Veterans Bowl. So I guess they found a sponsor.
It's a lot of words for a sponsor.
It's a mouthful for sure. That stadium in Montgomery didn't say who we might play. And then I've also heard too, that we've been in talks with Bahamas. So with the Bahamas Bowl. So, if those of you looking to spend Christmas in the Bahamas, and watch Jack State at the same time, there's a very strong possibility that might happen. Drew, is there any preference to where you would want to go, or any of those matchups really sound intriguing to you?
Anywhere but Montgomery.
Yeah.
Montgomery would be the easiest drive for us. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to the Bahamas on Christmas. Never say never. I mean, accidents happen all the time. But, I mean, I can go to Orlando very easily. I can go east or west to Texas very easily. I just don't care about playing in Montgomery. We've been there. I've been to that stadium however many times we've played in the last 10 years. So we've been in all those games. But as far as matchup, the Coastal matchup is very interesting to me. I think I'd rather play James Madison, not, you know, bring on the rematch, right? I would love to go out and beat Coastal, and you know, we've lost two in a row to him now, and this last one was not a non-contest. But I think James Madison would be a really fun matchup. That'd be your two newest FCS to FBS schools that are having success. I think it'd be a really fun matchup to go play the Dukes. But I mean, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you the same thing every time. If Auburn finds a way to get to six wins, I'll go play them in the backyard. I don't think they're going to find a way to get six wins. I'm going to pull like hell for them to find a way to get to six wins. Cause I mean, I would love nothing more than to go beat Auburn. I don't care. It can be in Birmingham. That's fine. It's not a big bowl game, if I could handpick a team to play a bowl game against, if Auburn can get to six wins, that's easy for me to pick. So, but beyond that, Coastal's great. James Madison's great. I just don't want to play in Montgomery against whatever MAC school they find to play us. I don't see the interest there. I would love to go back to New Orleans. That was a really fun trip. That was a really fun game. The Superdome was super, super nice. No pun intended. So that'd be another, you know, venue that I would love go back to New Orleans. I know we've just played there, but you know, after the third or fourth New Orleans Bowl, it might get old, but I mean, it was awesome the first time. And, they played, of course, a terrible first half and an all time great second half to get in overtime and win that game. So I would be more than happy to go back there. So, we'll keep you updated with, obviously, what the projections look like going forward. This team shouldn't have an issue getting to six wins. That'd be if they only win six games, that's a complete failure at this point. I think, you know, 8-4 has got to be your floor. You know, you're sitting at 3-3. You've got what we would think would be three guaranteed wins left against Middle Tennessee State, FIU, and Louisiana Tech to get you to 6-6 or 6-3. And then, of course, you got the round robin there with Liberty, Sam Houston, and Western, and you'd like to take two of those because if you take two of those, it gets you into the conference championship game no matter what. So going to be really exciting down the stretch for this football team to see where we end up, and hopefully we watch them play 14 games this year. It'll be a conference championship game and a bowl game, and just please don't be in Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm like you. I just don't want it to be in Montgomery. We've played in that stadium too many times. It's not a very nice stadium. I have very strong feelings about Montgomery in general. There's some nice areas, but that's another discussion for another day. Anywhere but there. I'd be more than willing to go to. I think Mobile would be a lot of fun. I would like playing in, I think I'd like playing in the Cure Bowl. Go down to Orlando. That's a drive we can do. It's on the 20th. So still be back in plenty of time for Christmas. And I like that matchup. I personally would like to have another shot at Coastal Carolina because I think we'd run up and down the field on them. Maybe not that much, but I think we'd win. So that one would be a lot of fun. Personally, if we do go to the Bahamas, I probably won't make that trip. But for those of you who do have a lot of fun, I hope to get down there someday. But that would be an interesting or certainly a fun trip for those fans that can make it. I don't know who we would play, but either way, And then, I'm like you. I would not mind at all going back to New Orleans. That was a fun trip. Great food, Bourbon Street, Jackson Square. It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the game, the Superdome was really cool to get to play in and win the way that we did. And I would have no problem at all going back to New Orleans. Now, like you said, three or four New Orleans Bowls in a row, kind of like Louisiana Lafayette has done in years past. That, you know, that would be a little much. But as of right now, Schlabel and Bonaguirre have Sam Houston playing James Madison and Liberty playing Georgia Southern in that game. So it kind of sounds like Conference USA loser might go to that game. So maybe if we can at least get to the conference championship game, we can guarantee at least New Orleans. That's what it sounded like.
And for those that didn't go to that game last year, like Brooke said, it was a really good trip. But how they presented that game as an in-person atmosphere was really, really good, because that stadium seats 60,000, 70,000 people, and there was only maybe 30,000 there, or 25,000 there. It wasn't many. But they blocked off you just on the very bottom, which was really, really nice. You didn't sit on the second or third deck. And obviously we had our sideline. Louisiana had their sideline. There was a guy with a microphone who, every time that there was a timeout or a commercial break or whatever, it wasn't like you're just sitting there watching, paint dry with, sitting far from the team. He was talking to fans, and there was little halftime show stuff. It was a really, really good show, apart from just football games. So I would, like I said, love to go back to New Orleans at some point and play in that game again, because that was a really lot of fun. So,
I was just going to say, I don't think you ever get a better experience in the Superdome without that. You won't ever see a Sugar Bowl for that cheap, and those seats, and you certainly won't for a Saints game without breaking the bank. So if you want a really good experience in the Superdome and in New Orleans for a little bit on the cheaper side, if that is where we end up, definitely do it.
Yeah. You're on the bottom ring, spread out for everybody, because you're not seating enough to be sat near people. You can kind of walk a little bit left or right. Of course, in overtime, they just stay on one of the fields. So when Jackson got the ball after the Cajuns missed their field goal, everyone kind of crowded on one end of the bottom there. It was really neat. They just kind of left what we wanted to. And then, it was just really good layout. And you hear some – in the past, I've heard some bad things about the Superdome kind of being outdated and that. But I thought it was super nice on the inside. I've been to Mercedes-Benz a couple of times. It was to me, and again, I'm not a stadium critic and that kind of thing, it was every bit as nice as the Superdome was. Now, we were on the bottom, not the top, and I've been to the top of the Superdome, which is still really, really nice, or the top of Mercedes-Benz, I should say, is still really, really nice. I don't know what the top levels of Superdome would be like, but I thought steep, but that bottom ring was every bit as nice as Mercedes-Benz to me. So, if you're picking venues, it's the New Orleans Bowl is just way, way out in front of Montgomery by not even the same world. But we'll wrap it up here. We'll come to you guys either Wednesday night or Thursday night after what we believe will be win number four. And like we said, after their third loss to Eastern Michigan, this team's going to rattle off four in a row, and they're going to go to Liberty October 30th at 4-3, and they're going to go beat the Flames in Lynchburg. And right now, that looks likely, the way that they've played the last 3 weeks, having a bye week to get healthy, and they're going to get another, we think, easy win against the Blue Raiders, and then the season's in Lynchburg October 30th. If you go to Lynchburg and beat Liberty, you were in the driver's seat in the conference to play for a conference title game. So that'll be a huge week. That's 9 days from now. as you record this, they play Liberty 9 days from now. So it's going to be a quick two games here. I know that's a week turnaround, but it'll be fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I said earlier, get through this game with as little bit of injury as possible. We certainly cannot be looking ahead to Liberty next week. I know that's what's going to be on everybody's mind, but you know, hopefully with the blackout and everything, new environments, in general, Rich Rod won't let them start looking. He just won't. That's not how he runs his program. I think we'll be more than focused on Middle Tennessee and come in, take care of business, and like I said, just stay healthy and get ready for get ready for the Flames next week. But fully expect to be talking about a Gamecock victory probably Thursday night or Wednesday night or whatever. So, you got anything else?
No, absolutely. We'll come back to you guys Thursday or Friday. Sorry for the no upload last week, but you know, off week, we need a week off. Kind of took it easy and obviously going to hit it hard Wednesday night and for the rest of the year. So go find us on Twitter if you haven't already. You guys know where to find that. Leave us a comment. We'll post pretty much throughout the game some different stuff. Assume we can get a tweet out. We're both going to be at the game. So if nothing's going on Twitter, it's because we can't get a tweet out because for whatever reason there is no cell service during Jack State football games, which is just asinine. But either way, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later on in the week.
See y'all, everybody.